Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're able to enjoy that time of praise and worship, and that you're able to sing along while at home. So from now, we're going to have a brief time of study in the Word from Luke chapter 11, and would invite you to please stay after that so that we can have a time of sharing and prayer together. It's going to be on a separate browser or a separate app called Zoom, and I'm going to include my email address at the bottom once more so that you can be invited to join us. So I hope to see you after this short message.
Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Jesus teaches prayer. Let's begin. It all starts in verse 1, where Jesus is finished praying in solitude, and one of his disciples comes up to him and says, "Lord, could you teach us how to pray, just like John taught his disciples?" And you can tell when you read verse 2 to 13 that Jesus is showing his disciples how to pray. And so we can see that the simple question, "Lord, teach us to pray," was something like, "Lord, can you teach us how to pray?" And right away, we can get some insight into the meaning of prayer. One thing is that if someone were to ask us, "Hey, how is your prayer life? How are you doing with your prayer?" Most of us probably would answer, "Well, to be honest, I'm not praying enough. I need to pray more. I want to pray more." And you know what? That's not a bad answer, if we're being honest, because that actually shows us that there is actually a desire to pray more. You know, when the gospel gets into your life and starts changing you, you begin to realize, "I need to pray more. I need to pray more frequently. I need to pray more effectively." The second thing that we can see is that, you know, the more we pray, the more we realize, "Wow, I really need to learn how to pray. I need to learn how to pray like Jesus, how to pray more effectively, how to pray more intimately." And so the gospel, in the way that it works on our lives, is that it gives us a desire to grow in prayer, and that it helps us understand that we still need to learn how to pray. So that is how, or that is the question that the disciples give to Jesus. And Jesus breaks his answer down into three parts. Part one is verses 2 to 4, where Jesus gives a very practical answer. And then in verses 5 through 10, Jesus gives a parable to teach us a certain principle about prayer. And then finally, in verses 11 through 13, Jesus gets kind of deeper into the heart of prayer and gives us something very profound. So the answer that Jesus gives his disciples is very practical and very profound. And in the middle, he gives us a story that illustrates a very important principle. But first, let's go into that practical answer, where Jesus gives us a model for daily prayer. So let's go ahead and look at that prayer right now, verses 2 to 4. Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Many of you are probably familiar with this. It's the shortened, abbreviated version of the Lord's Prayer. The other place that's located is in Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. But Luke gives us the shortened, abbreviated prayer for this daily prayer. And so looking at it, there's a few things that we can learn. First, it says, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." So what we need to do, Jesus is teaching us, is that every single day when we get up in the morning and we pray this prayer, we're aligning our hearts to the heart of God. We're saying, God, my priorities and my purposes, I want them to be aligned with your purpose for my life and your priority for my day. So we're kind of asking ourselves, do I want what God wants? The second thing that we can see that Jesus is showing us is that we're asking for our daily bread. And so with that, it's a very simple prayer or simple principle for prayer, which is we're acknowledging that God is in control of our daily provision. And so we're asking God to meet our physical provision. And we're recognizing that God is in control. In verse 4, it says, forgive us of our sins. And then, not only that, it says, we also forgive everyone who sins against us, showing that we also not only have a physical need for God to provide, but also there's a kind of psychological aspect to our health. And the one part is that there is oftentimes a place for our day and our time to repent. But there's something interesting that Jesus is showing us, and that is our repentance is related to our relationships. And conversely, the way that we relate to others is actually a reflection of the way that we relate to God. In other words, how much do we understand the gospel? How much has the gospel transformed us or is transforming us? Well, one way that you can tell is by the way that you give grace and kindness to others. Because if you received grace and kindness from God, man, the most that you want to do is give that to others, just as you've been given that from God through Jesus. Finally, it says, lead us not into temptation. What is happening there? Well, simply, if we can go, we're acknowledging that not only is there a physical reality and a psychological reality to our lives, but also there is a spiritual and supernatural reality. And our health and our daily needs are completely met, both physically and spiritually, by God. So that is something that Jesus shows us in his model prayer. That's the first bit. And then, you know, that's daily prayer for our daily needs. But then also there's prayer for some certain emergency needs or urgent requests that we have for God. And so Jesus gives us a parable to teach us something about specific prayers, prayers that we have that's on our heart that we need to go to God for. And that is from verses 5 through 10. So let's go ahead and look at what Jesus is teaching us about specific prayer. He starts off in this parable by talking about a surprise visit from a friend. And of course, because it's unexpected, you have not prepared for that friend. So you have nothing to offer them. So what you do is you go to another friend and you ask them, you know, it could be in the middle of the night, and you ask them to give you something that will provide for the needs of this friend. And Jesus says, and that friend could answer you and say, look, leave me alone. It's the middle of the night. Okay, my door is already shut, right? I'm in bed, so I'm not going to get up and give you anything. Leave me alone. And so Jesus moves into the second bit of the parable and says, look, this guy's friend is not going to answer him out of his friendship. Okay, he's not going to get up because he's his friend, but because the man annoyed him enough, because of the man's persistence, because the man would not stop asking, the man would not stop seeking, the man would not stop knocking. That is why the man, the friend, would provide for the man's needs. And so Jesus gives us the punchline. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks will have the door opened for them. So there's a few things we can see that Jesus is trying to teach us when it comes to specific prayers, requests. And that is, there is never a wrong time to seek God in prayer. It's never too late, and it's never too early, and it's never too odd. Go to God at any time. Go to God all the time. You can come at any time. The second thing we could learn is that no request is ridiculous. This man thinks, I have nothing to set before my friend. It's kind of a silly request. And sometimes we're discouraged because we think, God, is my request not worthy enough? Is it not a big deal enough for you to answer? And just like this friend, it seems to have a silly request for his friend. God says, no, go ahead and ask it and see if it is too silly for me. See if it is too ridiculous for me to answer. And ultimately, I think what this parable is trying to show us is that God invites and he rewards persistence, because Jesus is saying, keep going. Don't give up. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And because this man was persistent, his friend met his needs as much as he needed. How much more will God, who loves you and cares for you more than a friend, will provide for your needs? So if you have a request or something that you've been going to God for, and it seems like God is silent or God won't answer, maybe it is that God is calling you to be persistent and inviting you to keep going. Which brings us to our final point, which is, what is the ultimate prayer request? What is that request that God will not deny? I think Jesus is trying to teach us something about prayer, and that is prayer itself teaches us something about prayer. Excuse me. And so what is it that prayer itself teaches us about prayer? Ah, here it comes. That is in our third section. And again, Jesus gives us a kind of illustration, and he's talking about a relationship here. I want you to notice some key words. He talks about the Father and the Son. And again, he's talking about the Father in heaven as he relates to his children. So the key words would be a father and a children, a father and a son. And what he's saying is this: because of Jesus Christ, because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and because of his ascension to the right hand of God the Father, through faith in Jesus, we have access to God in such a way that God sees us as his children. In other words, our relationship to God is similar to that of a child relating to his loving father. That special access that a child has to his father, more than just a friend, but as a child, there's some special access that we have. And so prayer for the Christian is one of privilege access to their Father in heaven. And if you remember that, you would not be afraid to continually ask, seek, and knock, and be persistent with your prayer request. But not only that, you'll understand what to ask for. And what is it that we need to be asking for? Well, first of all, we need to look at a very important point in this analogy. He talks about a father who, when his son asks for a fish, there's no way he would give him a snake. Or when a child asks for an egg, there's no way he would be given a scorpion. So he's talking about human fathers who, compared to God, obviously are not good. You could say that they're evil. But what he's doing is he's giving us a contrast between God the Father, our Heavenly Father, and us earthly fathers. And he's saying, look, you earthly fathers, obviously, even though you make mistakes and even though you're not the best father in the world, you understand something. You love to give good things to your children. Well, how much more the Father in heaven loves to be generous and give to his children? But what is it that God gives and loves, gives generously and loves to provide for his children? It would be himself, his Holy Spirit. So just like any good father who loves to provide for his children, God happily and generously gives us his Holy Spirit. So what is it that prayer itself is teaching us as we pray? And what, well, it's, isn't it this, that prayer shows us our need, our daily need for God, for God's Spirit. Ooh, yeah. But not only for our daily need, but also for our special needs. Okay, well, I hope that was interesting enough. So, that is that third part of God's or Jesus' teaching of his disciples, a very profound principle, which is that which is a perspective for any prayer. So, that is Jesus' teaching, practical, profound, on prayer.
Well, that concludes our time in study and meditation on the Word. Now, please join us if you have a chance on a separate browser or a different app called Zoom. Right now, you can see my personal email address. I know it's Hotmail and it's very old, but I still use it. So, but go ahead and send me an email telling me who you are, and I'll be happy to invite you into our Zoom meeting. I hope to see you there.